Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode contains explicit language. Welcome to Mom and Dad Are Fighting, Slate's parenting podcast for Thursday, August 25th, the Mom Group Messiness Edition. I'm Zach Rosen. I make the Best Advice Show podcast, and I live in Detroit with my family. My oldest Noah is almost 5, and my youngest Ami is almost 2.
I'm Jamila Lemieux, a writer, contributor to Slate's Care and Feeding Parenting column, and mom to Naima, who is 9, and we live in Los Angeles.
I'm Elizabeth Newcamp. I write the homeschool and family travel blog Dutch Dutch Goose. I'm the mom of 3 littles, Henry, who's 10, Oliver, who's 8, and Teddy, who's 5. We live in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Today's letter writer is feeling left out of her mom groups. The kids get along great, and the other moms are cordial enough, but they never invite her to hang out with them outside of the group and never reciprocate invitations. Our dear letter writer is left feeling like an afterthought. Don't worry, we've got some thoughts for her and for these other moms. Then on Slate Plus, we're going to be talking about the morning rush out the door. Here's a sneak peek of what you'll hear if you have Slate Plus.
I think what makes it feel so crazy is this overarching feeling of like, I also don't want to push them out the door with me in a bad mood, because that is the wrong foot, right? So like, what can we do to get us out on a good foot, but also prepared? It is just this small moment that sort of encapsulates everything about parenting.
You get more of our show and a bunch of other Slate favorites every week. If you have Slate Plus, you also get to avoid all the ads and get unlimited access to the Slate website. It's truly the best way to support our show, so please consider signing up if you can. You can join by going to slate.com/momanddadplus. Again, that's slate.com/momanddadplus. Okay, we're going to catch up on our week in parenting, but not before a quick break. See you back here in a second.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
All right, we're back. Jamila, have you triumphed or failed this week?
So as I mentioned in a recent episode, Naima and I found a recipe online for an Oreo cookie cake that consists of taking 28 Oreos, 1 cup of water, putting them in a blender, baking them in your microwave, topping them with some more crushed Oreos, and somehow having a delicious cake. I got the recipe from the Korean Vegan, and she, that's her handle. You know, the Korean Vegan, but that's actually her online persona. That's her name. And We tried to find Oreos. There's a mini Oreo shortage going on in the country, or at least there was in the last couple of weeks. So there were no plain Oreos around our house. I bought some store brand cookies, made the most disgusting, weirdest, just awful tasting substance. Cause I can't call it a cake. It was shiny on the bottom. I can't get past that. It was shiny. And it was awful. And so we got some Oreos last week. And even though I was going out of town for a few days and like we were going to make a cake and nobody would be here to eat it, I was like, let's just do it. If it's still good, we can eat it when we come back. And so we bought Oreos, put them in the blender. It's just not good. I suspect there's a version of this that works. I know there's another Oreo microwave cake recipe online that was big on TikTok where you use, I think it's 3 Oreos and it's milk instead of water. So I think it's a couple of tablespoons of milk. And I suspect that maybe that would be less disgusting somehow. But I don't know if I even ever want to have another blended up Oreo because... yeah, it was a weird consistency. Like it's wet. It's very moist. But I put a little ice cream on top of it and like chocolate and ice cream will always work out. So it was not a terrible dessert, but I would not recommend the Oreo cake. So I'm curious to hear if it works out for you. I would suggest like you.
I'm going to try the mug. I'll try the milk and the mug. And then I'll still have Oreos to eat.
Yes, you'll have plenty of Oreos left. You won't have put all 28 of them into a mess.
Yeah, into the cake. Do you know that when I was Googling, I didn't realize that Oreo is the knockoff. Like the Hydrox
came first?
They came first.
Really?
And then the Oreo, and then, but you used something else last time. You used the Kroger brand.
I used the Kroger brand, or the Rouse brand. Same thing. Yeah, just
I think they're
terrible.
All owned by Kroger now. I think so. We have the same off-brand here.
So don't buy those cookies, the Delitos or whatever they're called. If you have a Kroger-owned grocery store near you and you can't find Oreos, just give up.
I'm going to try the mug and I'll report back because I bought the Oreos to try it but didn't get around to it.
Meanwhile, I'm just going to eat 28 Oreos. That's what I usually do. Seems like that's much better.
That is the smarter choice.
Yeah. Yes.
That's the best thing you can do for yourself in these troubled times.
Yeah, exactly. But why waste them? Okay, I'll try the mug and report back.
Elizabeth, how about you?
Okay, well, we had kind of a whirlwind weekend. We flew the whole family out to Texas. We have a very dear friend. It's actually Henry's godfather who has cancer, and it does not look like he is going to make it. And so when we asked kind of, what do you want to do, he wanted to gather together with all of the kids. So a couple of Jeff's very close college friends and all of their kids like get together and have a really great weekend. And so we did that. We got this lake house and we had this amazing weekend of just being able to be together as a group of friends and have all these kids together, which is something that we have not really been able to do. Like there were certain kids that had never met each other, or that had never met the other adults, and visits had kind of become like, if an adult was traveling for work or something nearby, they would stop by. So, like, we just really hadn't have everyone together. It was great. We said goodbye on Sunday and headed to the airport. And I say all this to say, like, Jeff and I were in kind of a strange headspace because we had this amazing weekend. We were also, like, very sad. You know when you're, like, sitting with all those big emotions and then just, like, anything is too much? Well, Dallas then got, like, so much rain. The airport basically shut down. Our flight was kind of late. We were sitting at the airport and we could just see flights start to cancel. There's like thunder and lightning everywhere. Our flight cancels and the kids are picking up on kind of our weird state and are kind of just like crazy. And we're trying to figure out like, okay, we had returned our rental car. Like we need a hotel to stay at. We need to like rebook our flight. So like both of us are needed. And this person sitting at the same, we were like at this big table, just was like, looked at Henry, and we had kind of been chatting before. He's a winemaker. They said, do you want to learn like a cool origami thing? In hospitality school, I learned to fold napkins. And within 3 minutes had all 3 kids making fortune tellers and swans and all of these things. I had a notebook and he was drawing things. And literally for an hour, played with my children. This person had a book, was sitting by themselves with a glass of wine. I am sure this is not how they thought their day would go. I felt like I had been given a little angel. They went and helped our kids do a few things, like gather up things to pack up once we had kind of figured things out. It gave us time to both be on our phones and get our computer up. So in the spirit of just like people out there who assist you for literally no payback, I mean, maybe this like made him feel good, but I just am so thankful because I'm not sure how we would have moved forward. Like, I'm sure it would have been fine, but we probably would have yelled at children because that's kind of where it was getting to, is like when you just feel like I have to focus on this task or we will not have a place to sleep. And the kids are just bouncing off the wall. Instead, they learned to make fortune tellers and cranes, which they were doing, and showed their friends. We didn't get in until mid-morning on Monday and got out just before they closed the airport again. But I just want to say thank you to all the mysterious, kind people out there, like this person at DFW, who just like totally saved our evening and enabled us to get the kids to a hotel and still get up for, you know, to be back at the airport at like 3 a.m. So my triumph is for someone else. Like, for this person, you are a wonderful human. Thank you.
That's so nice. Well, so my thing this week is, I remember a couple of years ago, I was talking to my neighbor, a dad to 3 children, and I remember him telling me that he didn't really love parenting until like his kids turned 2. He thought that was the time that he himself could like finally start bonding with them. And I've just been thinking about that in the last week or so because I feel like something clicked. I've just been so excited to be a parent the last couple of weeks. It's been like so sweet. I think it's partly because Ami started to sleep. I think I mentioned several weeks ago that he started climbing out of his crib, and it was a challenge. It still is a challenge to get him to go to sleep, but he's staying asleep. And we've just been having such sweet times as a family. I've just been so happy to be a dad in a way where it like feels like the 4 of us are like best friends. And I've been just feeling very grateful for my kids to be who they are, who they're becoming. We had like an amazing weekend where we kind of took this impromptu trip to a beach an hour away from our house, and they played really nicely with their friends. And then the 4 of us found this like hole in the wall Italian spot with like amazing homemade pasta in this random ass suburb in a strip mall, like outside Detroit. And it was just like, wow, there are adventures out there and we can go on them when we decide we want to be adventurous. And then last night, Ami was fast asleep, but Noah, our 5-year-old, she for some reason got up in the middle of the night and she came into our bed at like 3 a.m. and then like woke up at 5. And then I was just a complete asshole this morning and forgot everything I just told you because I hadn't slept. It was like, oh yeah, things have been clicking so well because everyone's been sleeping. And then like one night of bad sleep and I turn into my old Grinch self. So it was a kind of reality check. But regardless, all the great memories that we've made in the last couple of weeks have not been completely obliterated. And in fact, I'm still very excited about all this stuff. So it's just been a sweet week or two for me.
I think it's so good to spend time really in those moments and thinking back on those moments, because in parenting, we get bogged down so much in the little things and in like having to get through life at the same time as being a parent. And so those tend to pop up like we think about kind of the bad things or reminisce about the things that didn't go right. And I have like a little book by my bed where I write down those kind of things to try to make it so that is what I am focused on, because I want the highs to feel like higher than the lows feel lower. You can't always do that, but I can play a small role in being like, these are those moments. Because I know that feeling that you're talking about where you've just had these like magical, like, we're going to be okay. Like these clicking moments of like, this is really good. And you can't sit there forever. But when you do, I think it's nice to just share.
On that note, we're going to take another quick break. And when we come back, we're going to be tackling today's question.
Talking about money can be so hard, especially when the person you're talking to is still learning how to do long division. That's why Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace, is here to help. I'm Bridget, and with my fellow co-host Ryan, we help teach your little ones about complex topics like bankruptcy, climate change, and why there's so much gold at Fort Knox, and so much more. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's dive into our listener question. It's being read, as always, by the sensational Shasha Leonard.
Dear Mom and Dad, does anyone else feel like they're always the outsider? I'm in two mom groups, one for each child, and it's clear that there's an inner circle and an outer circle. No matter what I do, I'm in the outer circle. Truth be told, it hurts my feelings. I can't help but think I'm doing something wrong. I don't think I'm awkward or have trouble picking up social cues, but they're always hanging out without me. I've since muted/unfollowed them on social media, so I don't see these triggers. I tried getting to know them better by inviting them out one-on-one, and it always goes fine, but I never get an invite back in return. When I text in the group chats about meeting up, no one responds. I'm tired of always being the one who reaches out. The easy answer is to just drop the groups, but my kids are tightly embedded with their kids. Also, the other moms aren't doing blatantly terrible things to me. I'm just overlooked, an afterthought, which is sad on its own. They all do sleepovers, and we're not a sleepover family. They're all white, and I'm not. Maybe those two factors have something to do with it? I don't know. It's hard to be a non-white American in a group full of white Americans. I've dealt with this my entire life, but now that my kids are involved, I'm seeing the disparity more than ever, and I want to protect them from ever feeling the way that I feel right now. It sucks always being on the outside. It's also embarrassing that I'm in my 40s and still dealing with this high school crap. Vent complete. Thanks for listening. Tired of being on the outside.
Well, I'm so sorry that you're experiencing this. Tired of being on the outside. This sucks. I've got experience being inside and outside of inner circles and know that it doesn't feel good to want to be closer to people or to want to be included in things or to be invited. And it just doesn't happen. And you're putting out, you know, you're putting your best foot forward. You've invited people to places and they're just not reciprocating. Fuck these bitches. FTB. Okay. Like, these are not your friends and that might suck. You probably wouldn't like them that much anyway, because if they were cool people, they would be trying to hang out with you. You know, you said when you go out with them, you said it goes fine. You didn't say like, we have an amazing time. I'm just confused as to why it doesn't, you know, continue and why it doesn't lead to more invites. These people probably really suck. You know, it is possible that this is happening in part or with some of them because you are non-white. People naturally do gravitate toward folks like themselves. And unfortunately, white people who are the majority in this country have been known to, you know, choose themselves over other groups of people or finding themselves being more comfortable around each other. So they may not think that they're being racist. They may not feel like they're, you know, rejecting you because you're different, but you are different. And so it just does not occur to them that they should be trying to have a stronger relationship with you for any number of reasons. And I think you should let that go. I don't think you have to participate in mom groups in order for your child to stay active with their kids. If you feel otherwise, then stay active with the groups, but just limit your interactions to if there's an official event, there's a kid's birthday party, we're all there, you know, like, cool. These people are not part of your social circle, and that's fine. You do what you need to do to maintain the relationship between their children and your children. You show up to the events that you need to show up to. And then when it comes time for you to have people that you spend time with when your kids are at school or, you know, with their other parent or doing whatever they do when you get some time to yourself to be with other adults, find people who want to be around you. Think about maybe joining a meetup group, signing up for a pottery class or a cooking class. You know, something that you would be interested in doing where you can go out and meet new people. Because I would suspect that that's probably part of the challenge here. It's not just that you want to hang out with these people, but you may be wanting to have some new people to hang out with. And that's totally fine. But I don't, you can't force this group of moms into being your crew because that's just not who they are. Just make sure you're checking in with your kids just to be safe, you know, because I think you would probably have some inclination by now, you know, if something was going on. But just to be safe, you know, make sure that your children are being treated well by these people's children and that they feel okay being non-white kids in a largely white environment. And when and where you can, find some kids who look like your kids for them to be around too. Like, that's important, you know? I mean, I don't know if you are just completely outnumbered and there's no other family that looks like you in town, but to the extent that you can, I think it's worth also finding some other non-white kids. You know, they may not have the same background as you, but other non-white kids for your children to be around just so that they can have some experience with feeling normal or not feeling that, you know, that they're inherently just different.
I think too, excluders tend to raise excluders, even if they're not purposefully excluding. You want your kids in a group in which they feel, you know, completely included. Like, I think you wrote this because you're worried about your kids feeling like this. I'm worried that maybe they do feel like this, but in the same way, they feel like, oh, well, these are mom's friends or these are the friends that we hang out with. And I, Jamil, I love your point that, like, you don't have to dump these people. If everything is going great with your kids, these can be your kids' friends who you go to things with, right? But you deserve to have friends that want to and do text you and invite you out because you're amazing. Like, you are an amazing person and you deserve to be around people who think you are amazing and appreciate you and are there for you and not always being the one chasing. This is like a wake-up call that these people are not for you. And I know that is like hard, but there are so many groups and moms out there, and there are other moms that are for you that you need to find. And that is the hard part, right? Like, finding a good mom group is hard, but there are so many moms and kids out there, and there's going to be someone who wants to do all these things and is going to be, in some respect, chasing you. Like, that's what you want, is that they're also replying to you. To these other moms, if you are in a mom group and someone is inviting you out, like, one-on-one, this is like a you should reciprocate in some way, because most of the time that is the mom taking some kind of risk to say, like, I want to be your friend, right? I feel like, don't you notice that, you know, our letter writer is always texting and no one ever replies? Don't you have any feelings about that at all? I don't know. I feel like when I see that in a group, you know, it makes me think about how we as a group are behaving and how can we make sure that everyone feels included, right? You don't have to do every sleepover and everything. Like, not every group that you're in do all the things together. And I think also because you don't do sleepovers, you know, letter writer, you can't be mad when they do sleepovers, right? Like, if you have rules against things and then you don't do them, but we're in the same boat. We don't do sleepovers except in very specific situations. So sometimes that means that the kids are left out of things. I can't be mad about that. But I can also seek out other families and other situations where we can have those same experiences with the kids. I just feel for you because momming without friends or without close friends is the worst. Like, that is what I dread the most about moving somewhere, is this, like, okay, well, I gotta, like, find some people to do this with and not just to fill my days, but, like, someone that has those shared experiences and that you can go to for all of the things, where to take kids to things in town, how to deal with a, you know, particular situation, finding out what's going on at school. I mean, all of that is done through friendships. And so I really think it is okay to walk away from this group and go find yourself a bestie who is going to be there for you because you need that and you deserve that.
I'm curious, if you think about the last couple friends you've made as adults, how did you find them?
The three closest friends I've made in LA, one, we went to college together, but we didn't know, we were high and by back then. So we just reconnected. You know, we followed each other on social media. She messaged me like, you're my best friend in my head. You know, I think our daughters would get along. And we became, you know, good girlfriends from that. And our kids became friends. One guy was, when I met him, he was waiting tables. And I think we were hitting on each other a little bit. And, we just exchanged info and became good friends from that. And then the other person, I think I met from friend, like, we'd maybe done a panel together or had a friend in common. Like, Yeah, I guess the one who I met at his job was the only one I literally just met, like a random person, you know, like it was not like someone who was introduced to me. It's very hard to make friends when you're not like introduced to somebody. But that, and I guess, Elizabeth, we have this in common. We don't work in offices, you know, because when I worked, a lot of my social life involved people from, I mean, I do work, but, you know, when I had a regular job.
Yeah, when you're in an office, it's easier. There's a lot of people sitting around.
Yeah.
They all need to eat.
Yeah, we went out, you know, let's go get drinks after work, that kind of thing. What about you, Elizabeth? How have you made friends?
I cast a very wide net. I ask for phone numbers if I have had a nice conversation with you in the park. And I have been rejected so many times that I don't even feel it anymore. And I think that's the thing.
Wait, you asked for someone's number and they said, no, thank you?
Yeah, it's totally happened. It's totally happened.
How did they reject you?
They'll just say like, oh, I don't give out my number or something like that. And I'm just like, okay, cool. Thanks for a great play date. But guys, I mean, for every time that's happened, right, someone has given me a number. This move back to Colorado was easier because we had lived here before. So I knew a couple people that had kids the same age, but obviously like our lives have gone in different directions. So while they're lovely friends and we hang out, some of them have gone back to work. And when I was here before, they were stay-at-home moms, right? Some of them have many more children and are doing things. Most recently, my neighbor who I love, like sort of casually said to me, oh, I can't, like, I can't do that. We have like a neighborhood group of moms that meet for wine. And I was sort of like, oh, are they taking new members? Like, how do, like, making a joke about applying, and had her invite me. I essentially asked for an invite to this thing and met a whole bunch of new women. And a couple of them I feel like are great. I, you know, asked her to get numbers. And I just text people and listen. Some of them, either they reject me or it just doesn't pan out, right? Like, I met someone once, it was great. And then they're, turns out, not really my people. I just accept that as sort of, that's totally fine. It's okay to let them go by the wayside. And I try to keep the ones that I really enjoy and that we can do stuff together. And I think there are all kinds of friends to have. There are mom friends to have. There are going out friends to have, you know, trying to find those. For me, it's just about asking. And like I said, when people reject you, I honestly in my head just think, well, someone that would reject me would not be a person I wanted to be friends with anyway.
For sure. It's a very healthy attitude you have. Well, tired of being on the outside, please let us know how it goes. Everyone else, have you ever experienced anything like this? Or do you have some advice for a letter writer? Let us know by emailing us at momanddad@slate.com. That's also where you can send us any questions of your own. And that's it for our show. We will be back in your feeds bright and early on Monday, so be sure to tune in. While you're at it, please subscribe to the show and leave us a rating and review on Apple or Spotify. This episode of Mom and Dad Are Fighting is produced by Rosemary Belson, Anna Phillips, and Christy Taiwo-Macanjula. For Jamila Lemieux and Elizabeth Newcamp, I'm Zach Rosen. Thanks for listening.